your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to the Alchemy Podcast, where we're on a quest to explore the intersection of cannabis, compliance, and creative in the marketing world today and beyond. Welcome back to another episode of Alchemy. Very excited to be joined today by Paige Guzman. Paige is the Chief Marketing Officer at Lagunitas Brewing Company, and have been really looking forward to having Paige on the show. Incredible background. Paige, you've actually spent over 20 years in marketing, building brands across multiple categories, geographies, and channels. Not to mention an incredible track record driving profitable growth in highly regulated industries. Prior to Lagunitas, you were at PAX and you were at Constellation. And I thought it'd be great maybe just kind of talking to us about your experience navigating very highly regulated industries.
Thanks so much for having me, Jeff. I'm thrilled to be here. So I am born and raised in Chicago, Illinois. And when I got out of university, you know, I was looking for jobs that I would enjoy doing. I knew I didn't want to go sit in an office at Arthur Andersen all day long and analyze some other accountant's spreadsheets. And I sort of fell into public relations, and the agency that I worked for had the Bombay Sapphire and the Herradura Tequila accounts. And so very early on, I think I was 22 years old, was throwing these events for Bombay Sapphire and just really thought, wow, I'm getting paid to go to parties and have fun with my friends. This seems like a good gig for me. And after about a year or so of doing that, I ended up joining Jim Beam in a public relations capacity. While Jim Beam was founded in Kentucky, they're headquartered in Chicagoland. And I spent 10 years at Jim Beam, and I really learned from some of the best brand builders in the industry. I still am dear friends with Fred Ngo, who's a seventh generation master distiller at Jim Beam. And I am honored to have had a small part in, you know, helping build their brands and their company. And I moved around a lot. I was in public relations, brand management, field marketing. They asked me to move out to California to head up trade marketing in seven states. So in that, I really learned a ton about how important distributors and retail accounts and true customer marketing is at the point of purchase. And then all roads at Jim Beam, unfortunately, lead back to Chicago. And as a Chicago girl, you take her and you show her the splendor of Northern California, and then you call her in February and try to get her to move back to the frozen tundra, and it's a tough sell. So I ended up moving to Constellation, and worked at Constellation for about 7 years, managed a lot of their innovation process in wine and spirits. And then my last role there was heading up all of their marketing activation. So 60 marketers across the country, across their full wine and spirits portfolio. So I gotta be honest though, I always personally felt like cannabis was a better choice for me. But I have said to many that I put myself in the cannabis closet for about 17 years because I worked for publicly traded Fortune 500 companies that were run by classically trained, very old school folks. And I didn't feel comfortable saying, hey, you know what? I don't want to drink another whiskey Coke or tequila soda, which tequila soda wasn't a thing back then. I'd much rather eat an edible or smoke a joint. I thought that I would be looked upon as, you know, a quote unquote stoner. So I kept my mouth shut for years, never really talked about, you know, not drinking on the weekends, but enjoying cannabis instead until about, gosh, I'll probably screw up the years. Someone will do the due diligence on this. But the last couple of years of me being at Constellation, I was very close with the chief growth officer, and he and I were talking about where Constellation could find more growth. And we were at a bar drinking some beers. And I remember this so vividly that I thought, Paige, you are taking a massive career risk right now. And I had enough liquid courage in me. And I said, you guys should go look at cannabis. And he nearly fell off his chair. He's like, absolutely not. We're a publicly traded company. We have federal distilling permits. I mean, it was just blasphemy. He was just incredulous, I would suggest something. So I ordered him another beer. I pulled out my phone and I started showing him the branding and the packaging, the sophistication. You know, it's not getting dime bags in your mom's basement and eating Cheetos anymore. It's truly a global category. And there are many consumers that look like me that were interested in it. So long story short, I convinced him to take a look at it. We created a tiger team. We did a bunch of diligence in Colorado and other countries to figure out how Constellation could enter it. And I can't take full claim for Constellation's multi-billion dollar investment into Canopy, but I certainly was the person that tugged the ear first of the C-suite to get them to look at it. I'm very proud of that.
I love it. That's awesome. You got to be bold to come up with something like that too, especially when you're kind of swimming upstream back in the day. I thank you in advance for being such a great trailblazer. And, you know, you kind of look at where we are now and it's like, wow, we're not even full steam ahead, but it's amazing to see how everything is starting to unfold around us for this category.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think that's what also pushed me to say, wow, if organizations like Constellation, like AB InBev are making large inward investments into this category, maybe I should take a break from BevAlk for a couple of years and go and you know, at the end of the movie when he says, go see about a girl in Good Will Hunting, I always said I had to go see about a little plant that I liked a lot. And so that's when I joined PAX. I'd actually identified PAX as an acquisition target for Constellation because they weren't plant touching, right? It's a consumer electronic vaporizer device. And while, you know, we didn't end up making a deal with them, it was an opportunity that I saw for a San Francisco-based company, a little less risk than a plant-touching organization, and was really interested in where they wanted to take that brand that had been a pioneer in the space. You know, number one vaporizer globally, 10 years in the category. And I had a great run, you know, 2 years with them. We raised $420 million, completely changed the way that we went to market. And eventually recognize, though, that cannabis is still really nascent and very volatile, and boards change their minds a lot. And so when the opportunity to join Lagunitas came across my desk, I thought, wow, here's a chance to get back into Bev Alcohol, but push myself in a new category that I haven't worked in. I'd never worked in beer. I drank a ton of Lagunitas, but never marketed it, with a little bit of a cannabis twist on the side, right, with Hi-Fi hops. And so many of my mentors and colleagues laugh. They're like, there literally couldn't be a more perfect next step for you. Like, the stars aligned. So I joined about 7 months ago.
I love it. Well, I think, you know, one, it's an amazing move for you just because of your experience in, you know, in alcohol and spirits and beverage, then coupled with your experience, you know, in the cannabis sector. And then, of course, all the things you love, right? So I kind of feel like it's your dream job. So I think, you know, talking a little bit about, you know, your current role, you know, I know the company has, you know, a little bit of a history, you know, with cannabis and obviously some of the THC beverages that you guys have rolled out. As I've been like talking to a lot of folks in the space, a lot of CMOs, even in the beverage category, they're finding that there's a lot of data that really shows that, you know, I think it's something like 4 in 10 cannabis consumers also enjoy, you know, beer and wine. And so it'd be great for you to talk a little bit about, as you've been there for 7 months, you know, what's kind of the future of these rollouts of these THC beverages? Like, are people really loving it? Is there a big demand? How do you see these two kind of different categories combining together as a hybrid?
You can look at, you know, Headset or BDSA data, and it's undeniable how many consumers are either re-entering the segment, cannabis as a whole, or re-entering and joining for the first time. And beverages offer an opportunity, you know, oftentimes low calorie, micro dose way in for consumers to experiment or re-experiment with a product that sometimes has gotten a bad rap when legalization first occurred and no one understood dosing, right? So I think we've come a long way with, nope, you can't eat the entire cookie, grandma, because that's 100 milligrams, right? So what I see in beverage alcohol, you know, working for large portfolio companies my entire career, we always talked about share of throat or share of stomach. And that kind of sounds like a gross term, but, you know, consumers don't always drink a Jim Beam or a Jose Cuervo. They select their products based on person, occasion, and want, right? So I'm a 40-year-old mom. I'm at a girls' trip. I'm in the pool. I want a frozen margarita. I'm a 40-year-old mom. I'm at home on a Tuesday night. I just put my kids to bed and I've got a big interview with Jeff tomorrow. I just want a 5-milligram hi-fi, right? And so when Lagunitas looks at the both the BevAl category, the cannabis category, and then the non-alcoholic category, we recognize, you know, consumers love and trust our brand. And so we want to have an offering, regardless of which space they want to play in that night, for them to have a Lagunitas product. So we also recently launched an IPNA, non-alcoholic IPA, that we're very proud of. So, you know, a lot of folks tell me I'll drink an NA beer with an edible because I want to taste a beer, but I don't want to have both alcohol and cannabis in the same sitting. Or they'll drink a couple of beers and then switch to a non-alcoholic product. And we also have a product called Hoppy Refresher, which is a sparkling water that has hop in it as well. So lots of options, and that's what's important to us.
You know what's very interesting, Paige? It just kind of jogged my memory of an experience I had last summer where, you know, I was on, I don't know if it was an edible or it was flower, but whatever the case, I was definitely pretty stoned. I was also having a couple beers because, like, I love having a few beers and maybe smoking, whatever. I noticed that the flavor of the beer was completely different than what it tasted like if I wasn't using cannabis.
Was it better or worse? You enjoyed it more or less?
Well, for me, it was a Belgian beer, and I just loved the flavor of it. And I found that when I was using cannabis, the flavor was lessened a little bit, which I thought, it was weird. Or I don't know if it was lessened or maybe it was my senses, but I definitely noticed there was just a major difference because I was like, oh, you guys have to try this beer. And my friends were trying it. They're like, okay. I'm like, oh, isn't that incredible? They're like, oh. And then I tasted it. I'm like, no, it's not supposed to taste like that. And then I thought the beer was bad.
That's what I was just going to say. How old was the beer?
It wasn't old. And then I drank it the next day, you know, just with just beer. And I'm like, oh, wow, there really is a difference. And it just jogged my memory from that moment. That could be an interesting study.
Yeah. You know, personally, an N of one, as I always say, my senses are so heightened when using cannabis that I think everything tastes brighter, you know,
sweeter,
fresher, better. Beer or Cheetos, let's be honest. Like, I have no desire to eat Cheetos or Doritos if I'm not using cannabis, but suddenly with some cannabis, it sounds really good, right? So I think everybody's endocrine system is different. And so how you process a cannabis product and how I process it can be vastly different. And I think that's part of the magic of the plant.
I agree. I wanted to, talk to you a little bit about what's happening right now, at least, in the U.S. When it comes to cannabis. I think you almost can't ignore it anymore because it's everywhere. Like, every single day, there's some type of press in front of you. Like, last night, Cuomo came out and, you know, he announced that he's proposing legalization again for 2021. New Jersey just approved recreational cannabis. You know, yesterday, there was all this news that, like, you know, stocks were surging, you know, with the two senators coming on board for the Democrats in hopes for, like, you know, U.S. legalization. And then you see, like, all these celebrities coming into the game and they've got edibles and drinks and it's impossible to ignore. And so I think you guys are kind of at the forefront here of capturing this big mindset before it happened. You know, now you have a lot of people that are like, whoa, is this something we should be thinking about? Should we be investing here? Should we be experimenting? And so I'm curious, as you've been in both spaces and now all of this is coming to a head, what is the relationship between cannabis and spirit companies in your mind now that you've seen it all? Like, and I think, and sorry for the run on questions, but also, like, how do you continue to differentiate yourselves as more and more people start coming into the space?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think any smart analyst in the BevAl category saw this coming a long time ago. And I think the biggest challenge has been, you know, how do you enter it with the very complicated, I will say with deference, cannabis laws from a federal, state, local, and sometimes city level. So I think that's been the rub for most companies. As how they play in the space. And as many have figured out different ways to do that legally. I think they see it the same way that Lagunitas does, that consumer mindsets are shifting about cannabis. The acceptance of it is tremendous. And even, you know, through the pandemic, we've seen incredible spikes in cannabis as a whole. Dispensaries are, you know, they're essential businesses. If you told me that 5 years ago, I would have laughed in your face, right? So there is such a huge consumer groundswell. But, you know, I think that brands have to be careful not to rush into it and not to just slap Captain Morgan weed or, you know, Jose Cuervo cocktail with cannabis and terpenes in it. So right. I think you have to do it in a way that's very authentic to your brand. And I'm lucky that I got to step into the marketing chair of an organization that I think has done it very authentically to their brand. And now I think our opportunity is right now we're only in two states. We're in Colorado and California. It's very complicated to have a national brand in cannabis because of the complicated state law laws, as you're very well aware of, and the lines that you can't cross. So now really our opportunity is to figure out how to continue to scale and introduce our product, you know, very trusted Bev Alk brand to both Bev Alk consumers that have never tried cannabis and might enter it through a brand like ours that they already trust, or cannabis consumers that are either moderating or don't drink or drink on occasion into the Lagunitas family. So we have a line that, you know, it's good to have friends. And Tony inked that years and years ago because so many people helped Tony along the journey of him going from his stovetop home brewer to selling, you know, his brand for $1 billion. And for us, we keep true to that, that it's good for us to continue to make new friends and keep the old. And that's really our strategy within cannabis.
Awesome. Yeah. And I'm curious too, just from like a holding company, obviously you guys are part of Heineken, like, you know, from the top there, they look at you guys like, oh, you're the cool, you know, cool division of who we are. And like, you know, do other folks look at you guys saying, oh, well, I hope we could be like that someday?
We are definitely the renegades in the portfolio, and we are allowed to operate as such. And yeah, I think that there's a reason that they purchased us, because the authenticity that we bring to the craft beer, to the IPA space, and now to the cannabis space. So we always like to say we have a lot that we can learn from Heineken, but Heineken also learns a lot from us, and we're very proud of that.
Awesome. So I think, you know, I want to talk a little bit, just because obviously you do so much from a marketing perspective. You guys recently appointed Canvas Worldwide as your new agency late last year. And I was just kind of curious for you, you know, the importance of media planning and buying when you're trying to differentiate your brand. And I'm just curious, like, who are you guys thinking about when you're really targeting to drive growth? Like, what does the customer look like?
The customer, it's funny, I was having this conversation with somebody of the olden days of marketing. And when I was an associate brand manager in the early 2000s, how you had all these consumer personas and profiles of, here's Sally, and she's a 33-year-old single woman who lives in a metro area and goes out dining four times a week and makes $75,000. And you sliced it so far down the line that, like, if anyone here actually find me a Sally, I would have been thrilled. And so for us at Lagunitas, it's a lot more bigger picture than that. I think that Lagunitas created the IPA category. I think craft was on fire for years, and craft has slowed down, but IPA has continued to surge. So for us, first and foremost, it is continuing the love and adoration with the group that has brought us to where we are today. We call them our adorers, right? But when you think about making new friends and keeping the old, I don't just want to talk to craft beer drinkers anymore. IPA has superseded the craft movement. And so I want to talk to consumers that might drink a Red Stripe on a Tuesday night, a Lagunitas IPA on a Friday, and a vodka soda on a Sunday. So it's a much broader pond than I think we've ever considered targeting in the past. And that really speaks to the IPA segment and our I want to say dominance, our leadership in the segment, that we have an IPA for everyone. So whether you want to drink our flagship or a hazy or something that has, you know, less calories in our daytime or higher alcohol with Supercluster or Maximus, we just really want to kind of be that cool older brother in the category that's like, yeah, man, like, what do you want? We've got it all. We can talk to you about it and teach you about it if you're interested and you want to geek out. And if you don't, this is $9.99 at Safeway on Tuesdays.
Love it. So I'm curious as far as, you know, just a couple questions for you, one with your experience, right? You know, both in the, across all these different sectors and with, you know, there's obviously this huge surge with cannabis. Any kind of like, if you could look into a crystal ball and look past 2021, like any insight as you've been really kind of had your hands in everything, like anything you think is really going to, you know, come into fruition much more than it is today?
Yeah, I think consumer shopping behavior has changed forever. I don't see consumers going back to their thrice weekly grocery store trip. I think the Instacarts and the home deliveries, the Drizzlies, have sold us the convenience and the safety of their products. And I think that will continue in beverage alcohol and in cannabis. When you look at, you know, Ease or any of the other larger delivery companies, as a mom with two kids, I can't walk into a dispensary with my children. Right. So to have the ease and convenience of it being delivered to my house at, you know, noon on a Sunday is great. So I think that's one trend that even once the pandemic subsides, the consumer shopping behavior will remain, that consumers want that convenience. And with that, I think the days of the treasure hunt, right, of just wandering around a Costco or wandering around a BevMo and looking for new products, I think that's starting to wane. And, you know, the greatest resource any of us have is time. And so a brand like Lagunitas, thankfully, has benefited from that. Someone walks in or they go online really quickly, Lagunitas, yep, I remember that. I may have flirted with a few other brands over the past couple of years, but I'm going back to my mainstay, to my first love. And I think that will continue into 2022 as well.
Great insight. So I wanted to bring back something on the show that I haven't done probably in, I don't know, a good 15, 20 episodes. But for a while I was doing, you know, we talk about business in the beginning and then we kind of end the show with some quick fire questions.
But bring sure.
Back. So Paige, just kind of first thing that comes to your mind, I'm going to ask you a question and you just come up with an answer. Are you ready?
Great. Happy to do it.
First question. What weird food combinations do you really enjoy?
You know, I love food in general, but I think I always really like the sweet and the savory, or the salty and the sweet. So, you know, pickles and chocolate, I think, is a great snack.
Have you ever had a chocolate-covered pickle?
I have not.
Because that actually, if you like salty and sweet, that could be an interesting treat.
Agreed. I've had a deep fried pickle dipped in ranch dressing. From Chicago. I put ranch on everything. I stick it on my my water if I could. But yeah, I'm a big fan of deep fried anything. Deep fried butter.
Oh, me too. Well, I've never had deep fried butter actually, but deep fried pickles with ranch dressing right now sounds fantastic.
Right?
I'm really like, when I'm going to have it at some point this week, I'm going to make it or find it somewhere. Okay. So from a, let's see, from a stigma perspective, like what social stigma does our society really need to just get over of?
That moms don't use cannabis. When I was in the beverage alcohol industry for 20 years, before I went into cannabis, and I would be at a party or a playground or anyone, and someone would ask me, what do you do? Oh, I work in wine marketing or spirits marketing. Oh, we're going to be best friends. You know, give me your card. Can't wait to have our kids get together for play dates, right? And then even living in San Francisco in, you know, 2019, 2018, and a mom would say, oh, what do you do for a living? And I would say, oh, I'm in the cannabis business. It was as though I told them I make meth in my basement. I mean, I would just get these looks of as they like take a giant step sideways from me. And that was really shocking to see.
So I'm going to actually remind me, I'm going to intro you to my friend Maya, who actually has a product called Your Sarah Jane. And it's literally like it's very focused on the moms of the world. And it's a really cool product. So remind me.
Thank you. I would love that. And I think, you know, what's funny is that marketers all sat in our little cubicles and crunched the data, and everybody came up with the same consumer profile of the soccer mom's going to come banging down the door of the dispensary, right? And she hasn't. And I think my perspective as to why she hasn't is because of the stigma. And we did some research in Boston that consumers told us in focus groups, I would rather meet my dealer behind the Rite Aid at 7 a.m. to get some weed than be seen by a church member walking out of a dispensary at 5 o'clock on a Friday.
I feel like that's going to change very soon.
I hope so. I certainly hope so.
I think that's going to change. But you have great, really great answers. I like these. Okay. What's wrong, but sounds right? I had to think about this one myself.
Yeah. I think what's wrong, but sounds right is, products that are incredibly high dose. So 100 milligram cookie, you know, 40 milligram beverage, because there are so many consumers that don't understand dosing that we are turning off more than we're bringing in when they have a bad experience. And everybody has that story of the bad experience. So I think we need to be very careful about very high dose products and how we communicate dosing. That situation happened with my husband. He knows that I microdose. I have all different kind of beverages in our fridge, including our hi-fi hops. And one night we were having friends over for dinner, and I looked over at him. He shaves his head, and he had beads of sweat all over his head. And I said, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm not feeling well. I drank one of those drinks that you have in there." And I had him pull out the bottle, and he had drank one of them that was 80 milligrams. He didn't know, you know, I drink a capful of it.
What?
So it's, you know, even in my own household, I've had that experience, and he took a shower and went to bed and he was fine, right? It's just a little uncomfortable for a few hours, but I don't ever want that to happen to a consumer that isn't around someone like me that can explain, here's what you just did and here's how to avoid it in the future.
Crazy, crazy. I thought you were going to say it was like a mushroom, you know, psilocybin drink or something.
Yeah. Well, and I have another personal anecdote to that too. I have a family friend who's in his early 60s. They live in Chicago. He doesn't drink. He came out and wanted to go to a dispensary with me. He has a massive sweet tooth. And so we bought some chocolates and some gummies. And this is the kind of guy that would, you know, we'd go to Michigan in the summer and he'd eat a whole cherry pie to himself. He just, once he starts eating something sweet, he has a hard time stopping, but he's a cyclist, so it doesn't really matter. But similar situation. He had a piece of chocolate from a very well-known chocolate, you know, high-end chocolatier in the cannabis space. And he just thought it tasted so good and he wasn't feeling it. He ended up eating 8 more and, you know, had to visit the emergency room to ensure that he was okay because he felt so ill from it. And so it's those kinds of things like, wow, high-end chocolate, you know, they're only 10 milligrams each, but if you eat 8 of them, you're not going to feel great. And so I think that there's a lot in cannabis that it sounds like such a good idea when you're sitting in a boardroom and everyone in that boardroom understands what dosing is. But when, you know, Arnie from Chicago walks into a dispensary and doesn't get it, that's a challenge.
Yeah. I think for a lot of newbies too, it's like, even the gummies today, they're so delicious. Like it's,
almost, yeah.
They should make them not delicious so that you don't keep eating them, you know?
Right. I even think my vitamins are delicious. I'm like, ooh, I'm going to take a melatonin tonight, right? Like it's amazing.
Oh my God. Well, Paige, listen, this was a lot of fun. And I feel like, we can sit here and talk literally all day because you're fantastic and fun and really great insight. And, you know, it's awesome having you on the show. And I got to say, congrats on your role over there. I feel like it's so perfect for you, and looking forward to sharing a high five with you soon. Once we get
through. I would love it. I would love that. Thank you for having us. We will continue to innovate within HiFi and have a lot of things up our sleeves. So I look forward to chatting with you again when we have more news to share.
Awesome. Thanks again, Paige.
Cheers. Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.